Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me in studio are my very good guests. This is a very special Spirit of the Delaware Valley. I was blessed to come to know of a troika, as someone had put it to me, three holy people, Bishop Sarando and Fathers Swanson and Fathers Jeff Behai. And they're here today, and this kind of came up fast in this week, and I love it. And the Holy Spirit is always working, as we know. Some of you don't, but He is. And the mission that we are here to talk about is a very grave and very dark topic, but many of us know it tangentially and maybe superficially, but you know, in passing. But then we go on about our daily lives, and that is the scourge of human trafficking. So, I have Father Jeff. I'm going to ask you first to kick off with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit, as we often do. I often do with my guests. So if you would...
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my word too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.
Well, thank you, Father Jeff. Can I call you Father Jeff?
That's fine.
Father Chuck, and Bishop, you know, thank you. How are you, Bishop, this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, good. And I attended the first workshop last night at the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and these gentlemen presented it. And it was a very good workshop. So, without further ado, yes, Father Jeff, would you please put a framework around this topic for our listeners?
Dave, you know, everyone talks about the problem of human trafficking. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you that I look at it as a symptom a symptom and not a problem. And the reason why I say that is because if we're going to deal with this, and if we're going to look at how we have to address it, we're losing this battle. Mm-hmm. It started out at, you know, when I became aware of it, it was 25 million people. Mm-hmm. It's now 50 million people.
And that's worldwide.
That's worldwide.
Yes.
Now, I've been dealing with this since 2001. And so we're kind of losing the battle. It's like the war on drugs. We're losing the battle. And several months back, I was at a parishioner's home whose husband was Presbyterian. And he told me, he said, you know, there are two branches of the Presbyterian Church, and I'm sorry I'm not familiar. But he was telling me, he said, you know, the other branch no longer sees the supremacy of sacred scripture. And I said, oh, really? He said, well, no, they can decide that scripture means something or it doesn't mean something, and they govern accordingly. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about that, Dave. And the reality is, I think we live in a society where the supremacy of God is no longer recognized. You know, when I was a child, I grew up with the Baltimore Catechism. There were the first two questions. Who made me? God made me. And why did God make me? To know Him and to love Him and serve Him in this life and be happy with Him in the next. The idea that we're made for God, we're made by God, and we're made to be with God, I don't think people any longer realize that. So if we take God out of the picture, and if it's just mankind's fallen human nature that we're here on earth to satisfy, then pretty much anything goes. And that anything...
Which is where we are now.
Well, exactly. Yes. You know, the quote that I used last night was something I read recently, and I thought it was very relevant. It says, first of all, we ignore evil. Then we tolerate evil. Then we legalize evil. And then we promote evil, and then we celebrate evil. Mm-hmm. And finally, We persecute anyone who dares to still call it evil.
I remember that. That struck me hard. Yes, it's true.
It's where we are. And so when we live in a world where people think, I'm not made in the image and likeness of God, I get to choose what I'm made like, and I get to add or delete whatever I want to do to live my life the way I want to, we no longer realize that for this reason God made them male and female. And for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and cling. We no longer recognize that. And so the supremacy of God, that we're here to serve God, is no longer recognize, and consequently, what's happened? And this is why I call it a symptom. And the symptom is that we now see another human person as a matter of profit, pleasure, or possession. We actually look at human beings and we think that we can own them, we can buy them, we can sell them.
A commodity.
They're a commodity.
Yes.
Absolutely. And when we start to see another human person not made in the image and likeness of God, then all of us are endangered, and we see that with the unborn, and we realize this is a human dignity issue. Even our forefathers said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, not born equal.
Mm-hmm.
They're created equal. And so from the moment of their conception, they belong to God, and we no longer recognize that they belong to God. We think that they're a commodity we can buy, sell, or trade, and that, you know, and that's a lot less than what I said last night, but that's the idea where I think this is a symptom of social ills of a society who no longer recognizes the supremacy of God in each individual's life. Therefore, we are where we are right now.
Yeah, if I may, think of what's not, it's human trafficking. But there's a multiplicity factor that can occur many times. Whereas, opposed to, let's say, selling guns, it's a one-time sale. Drugs, it's a one transaction. But in human trafficking and the prostitution and all that,
you can sell a child 10, 12, 15
exactly.
times a day.
Exactly.
And that's why it's become a $150 billion a year industry. Because if I sell you a drug, you own it. But if I sell you a child, I take that child back and continue to sell it time and time and time and time again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Father Chuck, you had your part last night. You had some really poignant personal stories about the girls. Let me back up and reframe this. You gentlemen, there's a house in,
yes.
in New Orleans. Where is it? Baton Rouge?
Baton Rouge.
It's Metanoia Manor.
That's correct. Right.
If I remember correctly. And so you started that, and what was the purpose of that, starting that Metanoia Manor?
First of all, it's a juvenile home for girls rescued from human trafficking. And there are very, very few juvenile homes at all in the entire United States. In the entire United States, so far, they say there are about 700 to 800 beds for girls rescued from human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 700 or 800, there are only 226 beds for girls, young girls, you know, juvenile girls.
Mm-hmm.
And Metanoia has 16 of them. And when you look at the 50 million people in the United States consumes 10%, 5 million people,
mm-hmm.
The number of beds is so small.
Yes.
So I worked there at Metanoia with five religious sisters that are, you know, kind of surrogate mothers.
Yes.
To them. They're with them 24 hours a day, loving them and helping them and instructing them and trying to help them heal. And so the sisters are really the heart of Metanoia.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very fine staff. We have a program director who's very, very good and very competent. We have an on-site counselor, therapist.
Mm-hmm.
We have a teacher there. You know, and the girls, when they come, they give them a test to see where they are education-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And most fall into the fourth grade level, even though mm-hmm. they may be 16 or 11 or whatever mm-hmm. They have.
What just popped into my memory, you showed some pictures. It's a beautiful facility.
It's Father Jeff built this with his own 501c or whatever they call that.
Yes.
It's a 16 bed place where each girl has her own bedroom, mm-hmm. has her own bathroom, a little study area. So there are 16 beds for them. You know, Father said, when I, those girls have been used so much, I'm not going to give them anything used. Mm-hmm. And so he's provided for them that kind of a situation.
And that oftentimes, that probably is the first time they've ever had their own place.
Yes.
Privacy. Yeah. Safe haven. And that was very apparent. Many things were so apparent last night. And so it's a good thing that you gentlemen are doing. I want to switch over to Bishop Sorondo from the global standpoint and tell our listeners, you know, your affiliation out of the Vatican with Pope Francis. And I know what I took out of it. I mean, this is so uppermost in his mind and the Holy Father's mind of human trafficking worldwide. So, kind of give us the view from the global perspective and what your mission is.
Look, when was elected Pope Francis, immediately, of course, we give compliments for the election. I was Chancellor of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences and Social Sciences. And the Pope replied in the envelope that we sent, please try to understand and give solution to the problem of the human traffic in the form of forced labor, prostitution, and traffic of organs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we organized immediately a very important meeting of all the more important leaders of the different religions. Was present Ama from India, was present Welby for the Anglican people, was present the lady that is the Lutheran church, and of course was present the Pope, and all declared that this is a crime against humanity, mm-hmm. and this is very important to understand. So, because, of course, according to the United Nations, and especially International Labor Office, they estimate that there are around 50 million slaves today. 50 million slaves today.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, slavery is not... we often think, we Americans often think, well, that was in the 1860s and 70s, and that struggle, yes, that's true. But this is slavery.
This is new
today.
Form of slaves.
New form of slavery,
and,
yes.
And what is the definition of this? Is someone who depends totally or partially of another human being against his will. Mm-hmm. Again, partial or completely. This is the question of forced labor. This is the question of prostitution. Any woman want to be prostitute. And this is the question of the other forms.
Father Jeff, you have something to input?
Dave, in 2023, we have more slaves today than we had in the entire 400 years of the African slave trade.
Wow.
In the 400 years of the African slave trade, there were not 50 million slaves who were brought in internationally, okay? Mm-hmm. But today we have more slaves than our, you know, and here we are. We mm-hmm. live in a society where if someone uses a wrong pronoun, mm-hmm. they can lose a tenured professorship. Mm-hmm. But we're living, and we have 50 million slaves, and no one knows it or sees it.
But the other question is, 71, according to this estimation, 71 belong, women, are women. This is the question. So, for this reason, it's very important to be awareness to the, especially to the women.
Mm-hmm. 71%
of this.
71% affects women and worldwide. Out of that, 50 women's, million.
Women's or girls. Or girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
But I want to add this. And the majority not come from migration, but is in each state is a location problem.
Mm-hmm.
In all nations,
yes.
Also here.
Yes.
Also in my country, Argentina, also in Italy, this is also in England. I asked, just yesterday, I say to the Cardinal of London, but it's different here because you don't have this problem in your country, I ask. Mm-hmm. And the Cardinal say, no. In my shelter, we have also 80% that come from London, English people.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's here. We are a nation state. As Bishop just alluded to, on a worldwide scale, every nation has this problem. And some nations are more apt to meet it head on. Some aren't. A lot of them are like ostriches, and their head's in the sand still.
Let me...
Father Chuck, you wanted to...
Yes. Metanoia has been open for 5 years now. We've had 88 girls in the 5 years that have been there, from age 11... till they can leave at 18 or 21. And of the 88 girls, only three have been outside of the United States. Only
wow.
three.
Mm-hmm.
Three girls from Guatemala. That's
mm-hmm.
that's it. Mm-hmm. And so it's a problem, a local problem. But I also want to really say mm-hmm. that there are those that are trafficked across the border.
Mm-hmm. That does exist.
And it's a real big problem.
And I dare say that's what most Americans think. It's
yes.
just the border issue part of that problem, but it's not.
It's just part of the problem.
That's a minor
That's
percentage.
Right. And just think, 11-year-old or 12-year-old girl that's trafficked by a coyote across the border, probably afraid of the police in their own country, doesn't understand the language, doesn't know the culture. Yeah, she's trapped.
Absolutely.
How does she break that out to mm-hmm. even let us know we can help them?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you've got that awful, awful problem.
I want to add another thing.
Yes,
what is the cause? What is the engine to move all this? This is money. Only money.
Mm-hmm.
I say, Father Jeff, we don't have more the idea of the human being is a human being, can mm-hmm. soul, can have all things, and is an eternal destination. No. We consider the other as a matter and mm-hmm. could be instrument of my pleasure or other things, and no more. This is the idea of being slaves. And the money.
Mm-hmm.
The estimation today, and maybe it's more, but the estimation that gives the United Nations is about 150 billions per year. Mm-hmm. 150 billions of dollars per year. So this is the
152 question. Billion.
For pornography.
For pornography, yes.
And, Dave, one of the things that we don't understand, and you said it earlier, everybody's, oh, my gosh, it's a border question. Well, our own country... The administration has acknowledged that there are 85,000 unaccompanied minors that have been sent throughout this country. They have no idea where they are.
Yeah, they lost them.
They've lost them.
Yes.
And, that's one thing. But another thing that makes most people lose their lunch is the fact that 42%, this is a national average, 42% of the juveniles under the age of 18 who are trafficked in this country are trafficked by their primary caregivers, their own families.
I was going to get to that as well. That floored me, too.
Well, many, and we've had children, and of course, they tell their stories. The parents can retire and keep doing drugs by selling their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
They can retire because, you can make $5,000 to $7,000 a week off a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't need to work anymore. And, some of it is economic. But, we had a situation, a mother trafficking her 13 and 15-year-old daughter. Well, she's a former drug addict. And at one time, she could sell herself to get free drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not now, because mm-hmm. no one wants her at this mm-hmm. point, at this age.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's she's trafficking a 13, 15-year-old daughter. When the police came, she started crying. And she said, oh, she said, you know, I was getting ready to be evicted. I had no choice. I had to do this. My children and I were going to be homeless. Well, when the Department of Children and Family Services came in to remove the children, she had all of her drug paraphernalia still on the kitchen counter.
Wow.
And those are the situations that we deal with.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's very true about families that are, but yet you have the pimps that have them. It's estimated that one young girl, can make between $100,000 and $160,000 a year for that pimp, and she may get $6,000 of that.
That's mind blowing.
It is. But the other mind blowing thing is, it's a high reward money thing. Criminal money thing,
yes.
for those, and very little consequences to them. That's why it's grown to be the number one criminal enterprise.
We were just with Kevin Hyland, who directs the Santa Marta Group, and he was.
What is the Santa Marta
Group? Santa Marta Group is a group led by Cardinal Nichols out of London that meets at Santa Marta with the Pope's residence to deal with human trafficking. And Kevin was a former commissioner of Scotland Yard human trafficking and everything. And he gave this statistic that last year, between all of Canada, all the way down through Central America, down to Argentina, there was a total of 239 prosecutions. Total.
That's it.
Now, bearing in mind that 5 million people are being sold in this country every year, and 60% of them are juveniles, and of those juveniles, 30% are now young boys. And by the way, we only have 8 beds for young boys in this entire country. And so these issues continue to haunt us, but like Father Chuck says, you know, For the millions and millions and millions of people bought and sold, there are only 239 prosecutions from Canada down to Argentina.
That's abysmal. Well, okay, so what are the answers? When the Santa Marta Group or other law enforcement, LE, communities globally, when they get together, they have a convocation. Tell me, what are the proposals what are the fixes?
I want to add something.
Oh, yes, Bishop.
For the situation, today's situation.
Yes.
And it's that after the COVID and with the war, maybe the awareness grow, but at the same time, the problem grow because we have more people in this situation. Mm-hmm. More women, more girls.
Yeah. Than
COVID
pre-pandemic.
And the war. Look at the question of the Ukrainian people. Take all these children without documentation. Yeah. Where is the end
of I've seen some reports on that. I mean, just over the year and since the war erupted, that is a concern.
Exactly.
You know, where are the children going?
So
Ukrainian children.
Exactly.
Yes.
The situation today is worse. Mm-hmm. That is the real problem. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop.
You know, he pointed that out. There were 40 million before COVID. Now there's 50 million in that short amount of time. And these girls, the trauma that these girls experience is very, very...
Will you drill down on that a little bit more detail?
Yes.
You share that.
You know,
named Barbara.
Yes.
That really struck me. I'm Barbara.
Yeah.
Strawberry blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah, that's not her real name. That's not her real name. So I just made that up. So because we don't want to identify or put our children in any kind of... she was in New Orleans in the gang area. I think she was about 15 or 16 when she came to us. Blonde hair, blue eyes... pretty little girl, but when she came to us, she was tough, you know, really tough with the gang signs and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when she arrived, the sisters, you know, welcome her and put up balloons and tell her, "Oh, we're so happy with you. We love you for being here." And so she went to her room, put up a sign: "Leave me alone. You don't know anything about loving me. You know, just stay away." You know,
isolated.
That's where she started.
Self-isolated.
Yes.
Withdrawal.
But listen, when she came, she also had a binky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a pacifier.
Yes.
16-year-old sucking on a binky for comfort.
That struck me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, last night when you mentioned.
She drank water out of a baby bottle with a nipple on it. Mm-hmm. And had Leo the lion, you know, the mm-hmm. little toy thing there.
I'm thinking arrested development.
Yes.
Psychologically.
Probably.
Physically. Well, not so much physically.
Yeah. Probably a sign of what age she was
trafficked exactly,
at. When she left, no binky anymore,
okay.
And smart girl, really smart girl.
I was going to say that you mentioned she was very smart.
Very smart. You know, she did her high school equivalency in 6 months. Mm-hmm. Wrote beautiful poetry that would make you cry. It did.
Yeah, I remember
read it.
Saying that. Yes.
Yeah, I really teared up because it was about her experiences.
Yes.
So, but when she left, she had, you know, a little bit more, but it's going to bother her the rest of her life.
Well, and every individual, every victim is going to have that trauma. And you went into that a little bit more detail last night because we had time. Well, thank you, Father Chuck, for sharing that. And Father Jeff, what are the solutions being proposed globally and domestically here in the United States? But let me go to Father Jeff.
All right. Well, you know, first of all, we need to understand that this is a multifaceted problem. And in our rescue operations, and this is why we've done what we've done. But, you know, let's say you rescue a child. Well, where are you going to put them? Where are you going to put these children? Mm-hmm. And so what we've done, and we've done it, we call it the Mid-South Human Trafficking Summit. And we get everyone who has a touch in the life of a victim, law enforcement, judiciary, CA Children's Advocacy Center, Department of Children and Family Services, emergency rooms, Children's Hospital, everyone. And it's kind of a think tank.
Mm-hmm.
That in this five-state area, we're helping each other. This is what you're doing that's killing me. This is why I can't help this kid. Our advocacy, and one of the reasons why we're here with the Order of Malta, is to encourage people, we need more shelters.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly need more shelters, and we feel like the sister care model that we've developed. And I'm not saying we have all the answers. God knows no one has all the answers. But for 5.5 years, along with our professional staff and the sisters, we're finding some good results. And that is we need to have religious sisters who act as mothers. Now, our sisters are all professional. They're registered nurses and social workers, but they're not coming here as nurses. They're coming here as mothers. And what we're trying to do is replicate that sister care model throughout the country. And we're hoping to work with the Order of Malta and also to work with the Knights of Columbus and for people to be able to have a place for them to go. Now, legislatively and judicially, you know, we've had some horrible instances of judicial misconduct. Having a guy who coached in the Parks and Recreation program trafficked a 15-year-old girl. He was coaching 12-year-old little girls, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He trafficked a little girl. She got free 2 weeks later. He got arrested. He was given a $15,000 bond. He had the 10% on him. 2 weeks later, he's back in the gym coaching kids because he's innocent till proven guilty.
Exactly.
All kind
in
of
in our system.
And so our system has to work together and come together for the benefit of these children.
One of the things why the sister care model is so important is that working in a shelter, a human trafficking shelter, is so difficult and so hard that the average employment in that shelter of non-religious is 6 months.
Wow.
That means they never know who's going to be there in the morning mm-hmm. or at night.
Yeah. And with three different, as it were.
Yeah, with three shifts even,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And our sisters have been there for 5 years.
God bless them.
God bless them.
What order?
Hospitalis Sisters of Mercy.
They're also the sisters who stay at Villa Raffaella in Pleasantville, New Jersey, in the Diocese of Camden.
Bishop, what would you like to input from your perspective?
This is a global problem, as you know. So
yes.
We need global solution. The first one, raise awareness about the problem. The people don't know or don't want to know
yes.
what is the extension and the deeply of the problem. Awareness. after prevention. Mm-hmm. It's very important for all the illness. Mm-hmm. The more important question is prevention. Mm-hmm. To have prevention, we need to have, first of all, an idea that religion mm-hmm. exists, God. Mm-hmm. An idea of our anthropology. We are not only body. We have a soul. This is very yes. important, education.
Very important.
It's strong. Also the family, as we say yesterday.
The family
is very
unit,
important
which worldwide is breaking down.
Exactly,
as we all
to
know.
Strengthen the families, to give the families more important, as is the, in the church. John Paul II was very important to put the family in the real position that is the cell of the society. In mm-hmm. the contrary, we
Absolutely.
Don't have any solution.
Yes.
And also education. In the universities, speak about this in the university, speak about this in the schools, speak about this in the homilies. Mm-hmm. This is very important.
And that's what this effort here, and you three warriors, you know, really. I was thinking this morning.
Warriors and worriers.
Warriors and warriors.
A gathering of old men.
Well, I wasn't going to go there. I don't want you to ban me, okay? We're at a war. We're in another war. I mean, all the other things that are going on from the world, the evil one, you know, the devil and the exploitation. We have to get re-evangelize or evangelize even more, yeah. catechize more, bring the fallen Catholics and other Christians back who maybe have a heart. They may not be Catholic, but I was a convert. I was a Lutheran, but I saw the light, okay?
Right. Well, the Lutheran agree in this scene. So.
Yeah. But my point is, yes, you gentlemen are doing such great work globally and domestically, and you're traveling all over. I'm not just here in the States, but you're going worldwide.
Well, we're accepting the invitations that are given us. We're committed to this, and wherever we can help create the sister care model, wherever we can help spread the message of awareness. Awareness is our primary step. Most people look at this and say, I had no idea mm-hmm. that 42% were trafficked by their parents. It's not a border issue. There are 50 million world. Most people are going to say, how come I didn't know this? Yeah. Well,
we're here to tell you, folks.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. That's why I asked Father Jeff, Father Chuck, and Bishop Sorondo. Is it Marcello okay. or Marcello?
Marcello is Spanish.
Marcello, okay, Spanish.
But Italian Marcello.
Okay. I took some Spanish, but I can't match it. Anyways, I'm rusty, okay? Maybe
Thank
we can
you.
Talk a little bit before you leave, okay? But seriously, in our closing moments, how do people find out more about this effort?
Well, you know, first of all, we have a website. Metanoia, metanoia-inc.org. Mm-hmm. Maybe you all can put it on your website, the
yeah,
information.
We can do that. Absolutely.
And, you know, in terms of the sister care model, they would have to contact us directly. You know, please bear in mind that anytime you use the sister care model, it's got to go through the blessing of your local ordinary, your bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and also realize that we really want to bring this to the pulpit. We want our priests and our bishops to be aware of this. And we think once we do that, the resources that are available to us to do this work are going to multiply mm-hmm. exponentially.
Yes, yes. Well, okay, so if they want to replicate that model, do they contact that Metanoia website, or is there or would you want to give out any contact information for yourselves?
Yes, sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously people are probably driving in a car and not going to...
Exactly.
So put this on your website. But what I'll do is give you my card, and Father Chuck will give you his card, and we'll put it on the website, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Bishop, from the global perspective, who, if they are over in Rome or they're, you know, traveling... What awareness or what do you have contact information to plug into that level that you're at with the Pope and others, the Vatican? Is there a Vatican website?
Was. And maybe we can find something in the website of the Academy.
Okay.
Just yesterday, people asked me this. There are many, many documentation. We have many publications. And the website of the Academy. It's very simple.
VAS.va.
And the three words, awareness, prevention, and salvation of the people with very good shelters, especially with religious ladies.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bishop. Remind me real quick. I mean, this is a postscript, but someone mentioned USCCB has a website with some material on this, a packet, as it were. Comes down to the dioceses and the archdioceses.
USCCB.org, search human trafficking.
Bishop, would you like to close us, this Spirit of the Delaware Valley episode, with a prayer?
Okay. So we pray, God, that really we try to be near to the body of Christ, that is the church and all the people, because in the end all the people is potentially to be a child of God, and especially to these people to suffer, and we try to touch the sufferings that are really the sufferings of Christ. So we ask God to give the grace and to give all his gift of the Holy Spirit, especially in this radio that is dedicated to the Holy Spirit, all the gift to can realize this change that we need today to really the human being was a human being and was a child of God. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next time.